Ecclesiastes is really a book that has as its main subject vanity. And the man who wrote the book was probably the best qualified that has ever lived to talk about the subject of vanity. Now, vanity in itself, the word means emptiness or futility. It refers to that something that has a lack of lasting value. And of course, Solomon, the son of David, is the author of this book. And certainly it is a very important book for young people as well as adults. But really it is aimed in a special way for young people. In a very special way it's aimed at young adults. And it is really aimed to teach others from his learning the wrong way. You might say, learning by mistake. With the hope of helping others not to make the same mistakes. There is certainly a call from this world for all of us to live a worthless life. A worthless life is as in regard to eternity. Solomon was in a unique position in a number of different ways. He was in a unique position because he was the richest man that ever walked on the face of the earth. He was a man that had the ability to pursue all the vain temptations of life and to pursue them to the fullest and to find out at the end they were worthless. Now I think of I think of young people in Africa. I think my little recollection of Africa, you will see boys any chance they get playing soccer. Because in their mind, there is only one thing that could make them rich. And that is to be able to get on a professional soccer team. And so I don't know how many millions of young people there are in Kenya, but you know, there's only can only be one national soccer team. But they will all live as though that's what they're going to spend their whole life pursuing. I knew a man by the name of Richard Leap. He inherited Zumach Paint Company. Now, Zumach Paint got bought out by Hallman Paint. Some of you heard of Hallman Paints. But Zumach Paint Company was a paint company that existed in Milwaukee for many, many years. I don't know what the original name was, but I think it was Zumach Paint. They had their factory downtown Milwaukee. They made paint right in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And Richard inherited his father's business at a young age. And at a young age, he had wealth. All the money you could want. He had a home on the lake, etc., etc., etc. He had everything that most people will spend their whole life trying to get and never get it. But he got it young. I met Richard Leap after he'd gotten saved. And he said, you know, I had everything in life. And I found out it was empty. I found out it was empty. I realized there had to be something more to life. Because the dream that most people never see fulfilled, his dream was fulfilled. He got the end of it. He got everything. He got the money. He got the prestige. He got high society. He got the house. He got the vacation. He got the time off. He got everything. And he said it was empty. I realized there was something much more important in life, but I didn't know what it was, but life was empty. That's the standpoint that Solomon is writing. He's writing to that young person who thinks, you know what? If I can only make a lot of money, if I can only make a lot of money, I won't have to, you know, slave away the rest of my life. If I can only make a lot of money, man, I would be happy. You know, I could go and do what I want to do. I could have the clothes I want. I could go on vacation where I want. When I want, where I want, I could be in whatever club you needed to be in. The best golf club in the United States. You know, just go on and on. Man, I could be up in Canada. You know, I could be fishing, you know, one of those lakes that only one or two people, white people, have ever fished before. Man, you know, all the dreams of life. And you'll never get there, probably. No one here. You'll never get there. You'll never have it. And you'll make the mistake of all your life thinking that if you had it. You know, maybe you're some girl and you think, man, if I was just really beautiful, boy, that would be a disaster. If I was just beautiful, and you know, some people are really trying hard. They say that Hollywood's most beautiful women, they think they're ugly. That's why they got to use 20 gallons of paint. That's why they have to use $5 million worth of jewelry. You know, people say, oh, if I just reached it, I'd be happy. I'd really have it. Oh, that's what life's all about. Richard Leap got there, and he found out it was empty. Solomon got there, and he found out it was empty. But he writes this book from the sad point that he wasted his life finding out all these things were empty, and now his life is over. He can't live it again. He can't spend his life living for something that was meaningful, because he wasted his life trying to find out or pursuing that which he thought was meaningful, but in the end he found out it was empty. Like I say, most people will never pursue, find their goals and to reach them and get them to experience the emptiness that comes with them. Solomon did. Now he's talked about the emptiness of life from a number of standpoints, but in the first chapter, he sees the emptiness of life, the vanity of life, in looking at the realities of the permanent factors of life. He says, one generation passes away, and another generation cometh, and the earth abideth forever. Verse 4. One generation comes, one generation goes, one generation, let's start over. One generation goes, another generation comes. But that generation that comes is next the generation that goes. And then there's another generation that comes. And then that generation goes, and there's another generation. And then there's another generation, another generation, another generation, another generation. How many generations have been here? You know, they have some big discovery. Man, we found this artifact. Someone was here 1,500 years ago. Man, I bet you if we searched around here somewhere, we could find some evidence that someone was here 1,500 years ago. Who were they? Did you know what they looked like? What was their mama's name? What was their daddy's name? What did they have for breakfast? What kind of house did they live in? How many people lived there? Hey, you know what? The earth knows. And they come and they go. And they come and they go. If you don't start to think, if you think about that, you realize that you and I aren't much of anything. Just from a physical reality. Well, Jacob, how many billion people are in China? It's about 2, isn't it? Over 2? Or is it 3 billion in India and China together? How many of them know that you exist? Isn't that amazing? They don't know thee, Jacob Kuchtal! Unbelievable. And if of those 3 billion, nobody knows the Jacob Kuchtal, how about the next generation? And the next? and the next, and the next. We think, boy, I'm really important. I'm going to be real important. Oh, really? Notice it says, the sun riseth, the sun goeth down, and his place to where he arose. That's been happening for quite a while. You know what? We get up at birth, and we go down at death, and we don't get up again, in this flesh, our earthly life is over. But the sun keeps coming up and going down every day, and it will be till the Lord comes. Notice it says the wind goes towards the south. Oh boy, these cavemen, man, can you imagine these cavemen understanding the wind currents and ocean currents? Isn't that amazing? Where did they learn that from? The caves. The wind goeth towards the south and turneth about unto the north. It whirleth about continually. The wind returneth again according to his circuits. Isn't that amazing? Over and over again. Yeah, go look at the Weather Channel, folks. You know what? You get a snowstorm in New York City, and it's going to go over now the Midwest, and then it's going to go over the plains, and then it's going to go to the Rockies, and then it's going to go in the Pacific. No. No. You know what? The wind is coming from the west and it's going to the east, and it keeps coming from the west and keeps going to the east. Isn't that amazing? It never stops. The immensity, the continuous realities of earth and the earth we live on and the universe we live in and the shortness of our life. Hey, did you and I ever have any effect on stopping the wind currents? Let's see. Hey, let's all blow that way. You say, oh, that's futile. Exactly. That's what the writer is saying. The futility of life in the world in which we live. The vanity of man in our thinking. You know, we are in our vanity. Every man is born in this vanity that somehow the world revolves around them. And you know what? The world doesn't revolve around us. And guess what? When we're gone, someone might miss us for a few seconds, but that's about it. Most of the world never knew we even were. The vanity. Insignificance. You know, we need to meditate on that. Young person, you need to spend some time thinking about that. You know, the sinful nature of man is, I'm pretty big, start blowing against the wind next time. That's reality. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about reality. And Solomon is saying, well, wait a minute. You know what? Man, all the rivers run into the sea. And the sea's not full. Huh, isn't that amazing? Go to the Mississippi. Oh boy, running. Fill it up. Oh, the Gulf isn't overflowing, is it? There's this continuous pattern of life. And so he says, you know, there's a reality check that we need to come in that will sober us up so that we don't waste our time on emptiness. In view of the bigness of the earth and time and human population, we sing of Zacchaeus, a wee little man was he. Oh man, a wee little man is us. So we better come to these realities. And so he says, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. In other words, meaningless. Futile, not a permanent value. It's empty. It doesn't satisfy. This world in all its pursuits apart from Jesus Christ, vanity. Vanity. You pursue it. You listen to the world. You get your eye on the world. And you believe the lie of the world. And the world says, you have this, you'll be happy. You do this, you'll be happy. You get this, you'll be great. Lies. Lies. Oh, man. Be a major league baseball player. Man, that's really great. Oh, really? Just name it. Just name it. Say, oh, man, that would be great. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. You know, as long as you think it's great and are deceived to think it will offer you something, you will go after it. And until you come to reach it, you will never find out how empty it is. Now, I imagine there's probably going to be quite a few people in this world that are millionaires. In this room, there are going to be millionaires. By that time, you'll be able to pay 1 month's rent at the way the economic policies are going. But so the Apostle Paul talks about a number of things. He pursued many things. He found them to be vanity. Notice a number of things that he says, and we won't be able to do the whole book. Ecclesiastes 2:21. For there is a man whose labor is in wisdom and in knowledge and in equity. Yet to a man that hath not labored therein, he shall leave it for him for his portion. This is vanity and a great evil. And we could enumerate on this sad truth. We could apply it to our great nation and the truths of Bible and history and economics that the founders of our nation understood by all the errors of Europe. And so to speak, rolling over in their grave, we're taking those principles and giving them to a people that don't even understand them. As one of the candidates said, the greatest problem in America is that you have people in Washington, D.C. that do not even understand the Constitution of the United States of America. Don't have a clue. Most people don't either. Chapter 1, verse 17. It says, I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceive that this also is vexation of spirit. For in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. You know, in America they say education is the key. I'm not against education, folks. George Washington only had an eighth grade education. But of course, he understood geometry. He was a surveyor. He understood economics. He understood math. He was also a great writer, great statesman. But he had an eighth grade education. Solomon says, you know, think about the joke about knowledge. I think it'd be a good comparison. You and I, many of us here, we know a little bit about our history. We know a little bit about the Constitution. We know about the Christian values behind our country. And our hearts are full of grief. But there's a whole vast part of our nation that knows nothing about that. And they say, you know what? We like it the way it is. We love it this way. We love the entitlements. We love it. The person of knowledge is grief to them. Wonderful. He says, you know, this pursuit of knowledge in itself, vanity. There's a degree of truth there. You know that the highest percentage of atheists are found among people that have doctor's degrees. Do you ever witness to a person that reads 5 or 6 books a week and goes to the library every week? Ever witnessed to one of them? Raise your hand if you have. Yeah, they're real, real easy witness, right? They are lost. They are so lost. So lost. Now I don't believe in being ignoramus, you know that. But he says the vanity of knowledge. He says, and the reading of books and the writing of books, there is no end. It's a vanity. Now maybe you aren't into that. Maybe you aren't into that. But I tell you what, there's people that think that life is all about reading 30,000 books. They think they've arrived in life. Now, There are some people that they think that, life is all about accomplishing something. And so Solomon was full of personal accomplishments. He said, verse 4 of chapter 2, I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards. I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruits. I made me pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens and had servants born in my house. I had great possessions of small and great cattle above all that were in Jerusalem. I gathered me silver and gold and peculiar treasure of kings and promises. I got me men singers and women singers and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments and of all sorts. I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. Notice all his accomplishments. You know, it's great to accomplish things. And men are more into accomplishing things. And he said that, of course, maybe today more people are, and we'll get to that one too. But there are some people who are interested in accomplishing things. There's a lot of people who just want to, sit under the shade tree the rest of their life and let someone feed them. But accomplish something. Look at all the buildings he built. Look at the accomplishment in agriculture. Look at the accomplishment in architecture and animal husbandry. Look at all these accomplishments. What he did, he built ships. He had trade routes. I tell you what, he accomplished something in life. And you say, boy, I'm going to accomplish something in life. And Solomon says, go ahead and do it. But I tell you what, it's going to be empty. But you know, there are some people that says, people don't understand life. Life is about sophistication. That's what life's all about. You don't have to know how to walk. You have to go to the symphony. And you have to be able to enjoy all those instruments. And you have to be cultured. You need to know the great song. In Italian and German. And you need to enjoy the arts. Life is about being culture. I guess that's why you're not here. But yes, that's right. There's this whole realm of the world that says that's arriving in life. And all those peoples haven't gotten there. They don't understand it. They don't know what life is about. Solomon was there. And he said, you know what? It's empty. It's empty. And I know. I'll get there. Say, Pastor, I'm not interested in that. I'm not interested in accomplishing anything. I'm not interested in the arts and being cultured. You say, you know what I'm interested in? Being able to play. You know, video games. Games. Whatever. Games. Fun. That's what life is all about. Pleasure. I said in my heart, chapter 2, verse 1, go do now, I will prove thee with mirth. What did he say later in the book? He said, I'd rather go to the house of mourning than the house of mirth. I'd rather go to the house of mourning. In other words, I'd rather go to the house where someone died then go to the party. Why? Because there's not much right thinking in the pursuit of pleasure. It's a total wrong evaluation of life. He says it's vanity. And yet our world is telling every young person, boy, I tell you, if you want life, I tell you what, live for pleasure. Do whatever you can. Fun, 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 fun. And Solomon says, let me tell you, I was there. I got to do it all. And when it was over, and the sinful darkness of my mind experienced the end of all of those things, it was empty. A waste. Vanity, worthlessness. Of course, we've already hit on it, treasures. He said what? He says, I gathered me also silver and gold and the peculiar treasure of kings and of the provinces. I mean, that's a lot more than dollars that are printed on paper that probably someday could be used to start fires. That's what they did in Germany after the war. They took all that fiat currency, the marks printed on paper, and they used it. It was more beneficial. It did more good to start fires with it than to try to go to the store and buy something with it. But Solomon had real treasure. He had gold and silver. I mean, something that's not going to be destroyed by inflation or Obamanomics. Gold and silver. I mean, they had it coming in by the wagon load. The wagon load. What does he say? And you're saying, you know what? I don't want a wagon full of gold. Half a wagon to do. You say, we don't think that way. I don't know. I doubt there's many people in this world that don't read about them. This last week they discovered this British ship that was full of silver. Full of silver. Sunken, and boy, they're going to get it. Bring it back to the surface. There's all, you know, there's that thrill of adventure. Oh, man. We never got there, so we don't know what the end of it is. You know what the end of it is? When Rome was taken over Jerusalem, the money, and there wasn't any food. The gold meant nothing. Nothing. Oh yeah, there's that. He talks about the desires of youth. He talks about the desires of youth. And the life of youth. He says that youth is vanity. That is amazing, isn't it? I won't ask the question. No, I better not. That would be fun. But no. Oh, yeah. In America? Oh, man. You don't want to show anybody. Oh, especially if you're a lady. Gray hair? Oh, no! I want to be young the rest of my life. Really? The vanity of youth. Talks about that too, doesn't he? He says it's vanity. He pursued all these things. And know, whoever you are, wherever you are, you might be pursuing them. You say, oh no. Oh no. What do they say in America? How many millions and probably billions and billions and billions of dollars are spent on plastic surgery? Boy, being young! How many young ladies? Boy, they're going to make sure that, you know, everything is perfect. That's really what life's all about, you know. You're going to leave the house. You're going to... Now, I'm not talking like living like a slob. But do you realize how the fact is? That's what life is about. That's not what life is about. You see, there's a vanity. You know, what would Solomon say about Hollywood? Wouldn't be, even if they were righteous people, which they aren't. He says this whole thing is vanity. This whole thing is stars, celebrities. I read one time that one of those... big things there in Hollywood. Whatever. They got all these globes and squares and triangles and all that stuff that they go to, you know. It's nothing to spend $100,000 to $200,000 for a woman to get ready to go to that event. And you want to look like them. Now, the Bible says there are some things that last. There's some things that last. Some things that are important. There's some things that bring meaning. There's some things when life is all over. And you stand before God. It won't be as though you wasted your life. It won't be as though your life was just totally worthless. You know, the Bible says that. There are some things that will last. You know, most of us don't get that occasion to think correctly. Most of us don't get that occasion to snap out of it, so to speak. In reality, there's going to be one moment in which we snap out of it for everybody. And that's when we see the Lord. All the value system, false value systems will be seen as for what they are. And the only thing that will count is that which is eternal. Now the Bible does say there's some things that last. And we'll do this quickly. Hebrews 6:10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which you have showed towards His name. And that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which we have showed toward His name. If that's not, won't be forgotten. It will be remembered. It will last. That which is done for God. That which is done for God, for the right reason and for the right purpose. It's done for God because you want to do it for Him. Not because you wanted people to think you were spiritual. Not because you wanted somebody to notice. Not because you want to be a big shot. No, because you want to, you love God. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. The Bible tells us that that the work that people do for God will all be thrown into the furnace of judgment. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, it says verse 14, verse 13, every man's work shall be made manifest, and for in that day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. But if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, so as by fire. Oh, there were those who were doing it to be in Apollos' crowd, and there were those who were doing it to be in Jesus' crowd, and there was those that were doing it to be in Paul's crowd. He said, no. He said, but the ones who are doing it for the right reasons and doing it in the Spirit of God, he says their work will abide like gold and silver and precious stones. You know, there's some things going to last in this world. I doubt that most of those baseballs that are hit over the fence will count a second in eternity. And yet, people will give themselves to that without reservation. Influencing people for Jesus Christ. Daniel chapter 12. And they that be wise, verse 3, shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Influencing people for Jesus Christ. Influencing people for righteousness. Influencing people for godliness. Influencing people for the things of God. You know what? That's going to last. A lot of people say, I don't care. I don't live for myself. I don't care if I have a bad influence on other people. I'm living for myself. I tell you what, you know what? There's going to be a mighty, mighty empty day. But the Lord says, those that that turn many to righteousness shall shine as the stars forever and ever. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, what did the Apostle Paul say about influencing people for Jesus Christ? Influencing people for righteousness, being a vessel for the Holy Spirit to work. Notice what he said. A lot of people don't understand spirituality anymore. Verse 19 of chapter 2, for what is our hope or our crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? For ye are our glory and joy. Influencing people for Jesus Christ. Being spiritually minded. Living in a spiritual way. The Spirit of God can use you. Building up the church of God. Promoting holiness. And doing what's right. Being a vessel for that. Mark 8:38. Accepting Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Boy, that's going to last. That's going to last. It's not the verse I was looking for in my mind, but I'll quote it. What shall it profit a man? Yes, thank you. Verse 36. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? These vain pursuits of life, they grab a hold of people, too many of them. And that's all they can think. That's what I want. And what will they do? They'll, so to speak, take their soul and throw it out, just like Esau, for a mess of pottage sold his birthright. These very things that people are pursuing are the very things that are sending people to hell. But the Bible says, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Yeah, there are some things that last. And there are some things that keep people from the most important thing in life. Matthew chapter 25, verse 23. Notice what he says. And his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Then look at this verse. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. What a wonderful statement. Enter now into the joy of thy Lord. You know, people say, why are you wasting your time? Why are you wasting your time? How much time did you waste doing God's work yesterday? Man, you guys, just think about it. All the things you could have been doing. Wasting your time doing the work of God. Well, that's what the world thinks. But notice, at the most crucial moment of life, that moment of life in which the world's opinion, using your talents, your treasures, your time for God, a waste. Be careful. Don't do too much of it. But the most crucial point in life, guess what? God says, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. What a contrast between those words and Solomon's words saying, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. You know, there's some things that last. And that moment of life. That moment of life. What a telltale for everyone of what our life has amounted to. Have we wasted on vanity? Now, this is in contrast. This is in contrast to something that we haven't even talked about. Really? You know what? We really haven't talked about something else. I don't know if you noticed. But guess what? We haven't talked about sin. We haven't talked about the sins of the world. I know, past 12. We didn't, did we? The sins of the world? The Lord said to the rich man, in life, Lazarus, he suffered, but now he's comforted. In life, I'm not quoting it correctly. In life, you were comforted. You had pleasure. But now you suffer. The wicked are as a green bay tree, spreading its branches, immense in its canopy, oh, looking so wonderful, but it will be hewn down in a day, in a moment. It'll be over. The pleasures of sin for a season. There is an end, the Bible says. There is an end. There is an end to wickedness. It's not just emptiness. It's not just emptiness. And I dare say that we live in a world that's gotten so twisted that it isn't just pursuing emptiness, it's pursuing sin. And if sin, the emptiness of life, all the things of life, if that's emptiness, how much more so is it foolish to pursue sin. we'll have an end date too. Will we write in our book, like Solomon wrote in his book, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Whether we write in a book or not, we will. There will be a conclusion to our life. There will be a conclusion. He wrote especially to young people who are enamored and falsely analyze all these things. And he wrote from the other side, and he says, don't. Don't waste your life. Don't waste your time. And you know, maybe some of you, I think, you know, I didn't have enough time to play. That's what I need. That's where it's at. Don't be foolish. Solomon answered the question for you. Because these things can lead you down a path in which there's no return. And when it's over, just like Solomon, no second chance. How old are you, Gabe? 17. Guess what? After this year, you'll never be 17 again. No second chance. And life has no second chance. There's some things that last. We need to get them in our mind that those are the things that last. And pursue them and give ourselves to them. And when life is over, guess what? Life won't be over. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. That's what it's all about. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this great truth. And I pray that even today, that Lord, our heart will be searched. As to what the real purpose of life is. What is really valuable? What really gives meaning in life? Certainly it isn't being stubborn. Certainly it isn't being hard-hearted. Certainly it isn't sin. Certainly it isn't being worldly. Certainly it isn't even pursuing all these nice things that have no meaning without Christ. And now, Lord, I pray for young people. I pray that you'll help them to be wise enough to learn from Solomon. And I pray that, Lord, your Spirit would be working enough today that we could do some business with you. And there might be a real turning from the vanities of life to making our life what it ought to be for Jesus Christ. We pray for that soul that needs to be saved. That, Lord, they'll realize all the things that are taking away their soul. And that in reality will send them to hell because it will keep them from trusting Christ as Lord and Savior. With heads bowed and eyes closed, you're here today.